Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Rob Ensley over there coming at us remotely from Southeast Alaska. Joey Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. On the phone, Russ Baker, LimitOutMarine.com, over on Potholes Reservoir, where it was windy for last week's event. What's the weather like on Potholes right now, Russ Baker?
Morning, Russ.
We got about a 3 to 4 mile an hour wind, which is just perfect for to start the morning out. We're going to blast off here in about 45 minutes or so. So we hear it's about 79 this afternoon for a high.
Oh, wow.
There
nice.
Could be some yeah. pretty big bags caught today.
So what's the drill over there, man? Are we fishing topwater? Are you doing any frogs in the afternoon? Anything fun going on there? Give us the rundown,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, a lot of guys know. A lot of guys know I throw a big stroke. King Daddy Frog in the afternoon, yeah. And when the water hits 52 here, everybody's like, 52, Baker? Yeah, when the water hits 52 and these back bays start getting warmed up really quick, that frog mm-hmm. does come out. But right now it's pretty much a deep willow line issue. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily up shallow. A lot of bucks are up shallow, but these bigger girls are kind of off the edge.
So would you be throwing? What would you be throwing in the deeper water at him? What would you be throwing, buddy?
Oh, swim jig, man! I'm a big swim jig guy.
Yeah.
And if I could find some floating wood that's got 8 to 10 feet of water underneath it, all mm-hmm. of these big pre-spawn females will sit right underneath that, and then it becomes a flipping game.
So you jumped my next question. I was, when does that spawn occur? I mean, you're in pre-spawn right now, so you got guys that are, the big girls are actively feeding, the males are they're kind of rushing up into the shallows, hoping there's a willing female right there. But when typically do you see the spawn? I know it's temperature related, but so give us a temperature target and about a time that you would expect these bass to be coming up and spawn in potholes.
Well, 64 to 67, that range for me has been the magic number. You know, some of these big fish spawn earlier, but, in a little bit cooler temperatures, but the moon's got to be right, water temp's got to be right. Right now we got falling water. Falling water really confuses guys, including myself. I like a high water. Potholes is down 8 feet, about 7.5, 8 feet from full pool. April's never been full pool. But it's normally 5 feet higher. So our challenge right now is to figure out with dropping water where those big fish are staging. So that's our biggest challenge right now.
So the water's there. It's just up in the hills, right? In a couple warm days.
Right now, most of the bays that guys, little pockets they get into, most of the bays are got 6 inches of water on them.
Oh, wow. Okay. No doubt.
Right? That's a big challenge.
Interesting. So,
tell us a little bit about this event. This is the kind of Washington State's bass masters, right? I mean, this is a bragging rights event. It's the Potholes Bass Club Potholes Open. So, tell us a little bit about how long this event's going on and how things take place and going to proceed throughout the day.
Well, I believe this tournament's been going on for 42 years. Last year we missed it due to COVID, so they canceled the event. This year there's 142 boats in it. Normally they have about 110 to 125. I've been fishing for 32, 33 years.
Wow.
Normally Jeez. One was 40 pounds for 2 days. This is everybody asked me my prediction. I'm going to say 38 pounds. I think somebody's going to find them, but if they find them schooled up on a beaver hut or because the huts are playing in coming into play right now. They're not on all the huts, but they're on those deeper huts for sure. Right. So this is going to be a jig game. It's going to be a chatterbait, swim jig bait, and a flipping jig bite. That's where your biggest fish,
yeah.
In my opinion, that's where your biggest fish are going to come from.
Fun. Now, what about Western Washington here for folks a little closer to home, Russ? What should folks be looking at over here on the west side of the state right now? Because there's a ton of opportunity on the west side right now, too. As the lakes warm up, we've got beautiful weather here close to home. You know, what would you be telling guys to do here on the west side, buddy?
Well, west side, you know, it's funny. It's warmer on the west side than it is on the east side.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the crazy part. A lot of your smaller lakes, you know, your smaller lakes around King and King County, King and Pierce are all in the 60s right now. So these big girls on the west side, they've already started feeding up pretty good, and they're pretty easy to catch. You know, that's the nice thing about, it's just kind of a flip-flop. Instead of global warming, we had global cooling over here and global warming on the west side. So,
yeah.
You know, I hate to say it that way, but you're right. It's a flip-flop from one side to the other. And guys are catching on a lot of swim jigs. There is a frog bite on the west side right now. A lot of guys don't know that, but there is a frog bite on several lakes, especially with a lot of grass or lily pads. They're already up shallow on the west side, big time. And they're pretty easy to target. So small lake, you know, there's a zillion small lakes on the west side of the state, and those fish are already actively moving up. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity right now to catch one of your biggest fish, you know, in the next 3 to 4 weeks. But that frog, don't forget that frog. That's for darn sure, or, you know, a plopper. But, you know, when you're fishing grass or lily pads, that frog just makes it way easier to use.
Yeah, what a blast. Nothing like a topwater bite, huh, Nelly?
No, dude,
with a big old bass.
It's fun to just watch these things hit. So Russ Baker, Limit Out Performance Marine, I mean, you know, you get to see this bass fishery from both sides of the state. You pointed out, I mean, some of the smaller lakes definitely are going to heat up quicker and accelerate that whole program right there. But so much of any type of competitive angling is about a game plan, not just a game plan, in it, which I'm sure you've got one in the back of your head right now, but how that plan is going to morph and change. This is a really interesting event, Russ, and the fact that it's a two-day event. So what you find today is really going to stand in your stead tomorrow. And that whole thing of getting back to the dock and who's got what and where were they and the whole thing. So in your mind's eye, tell us a little bit about your game plan, how it's going to morph through the day, and how that may alter in day two of this event.
Well, the interesting part there on a game plan, you know, a lot of us know the lake, but, you know, everybody knows I have a weakness here for when it's low. So I did a little research yesterday and I found a handful of fish in 8 to 10 feet of water. But here's the deal. As the day progresses, that temperature comes up. So what does happen is you might fish a stretch of willow trees or willow line. Those fish are there. They're just not active. And then all of a sudden at 3 o'clock, an hour and a half before the event, you know, closes down, all of a sudden they go in the feed bag. So you really want to focus on being in the right place at the right time. And that's key. I mean, I've left areas and all of a sudden an hour later, my buddy runs in there. He's like, Baker, I smoked him on there. I didn't fail. You got to have patience.
That's the worst call to get in all of fishing is, hey, dude, right after you left.
It turned on.
Man. Yeah, stick and stay and make it pay.
That's what happened to me 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I left an area and I wasn't there long enough, and they all of a sudden came out of the bushes and started feeding. So this is all mental. This is bass fishing and bass tournaments is all a mental game, and you just got to put your head down and grind it out. And even if you have to come back to it, you know, a lot of guys, that's what they do. They come back to an area that they didn't catch one fish in the morning on, and all of a sudden they load the boat in a 20-foot stretch. So that's really what it is. It's a total mental game, and you got to stick with your game plan, and sometimes you just got to swing for the fences.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you know, sometimes you can just throw a swim bait, you know, and do that too. So until they turn on, but yeah, we're about to go dump it in the water and
fun
and give it a run.
Well,
we love talking to you guys.
Russ, how busy are you at Limit Out Marine right now? Is the shop just cranking? It's got to be busy, dude.
Oh, man, I've been working 7 days a week since Christmas. I've only had 4 days off. And,
yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to keep up with current custom demand, and we love what we do. But, man, I tell you what, if y'all are looking, if somebody's looking for a marine tech job, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to talk to you. We could put you to work right away. So,
you know, it's so hard to sell a guy advertising when he's so busy, he can't even get a day off, you know? So
all Russ the Baker, that way, man. Yeah. Thanks,
no
Russ.
Doubt.
Go get him,
buddy. Enjoy your day off.
Good luck, Russ.
Go to limitoutmarine.com. Yep. Russ Baker. Let us know how you do, buddy. Good luck.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Go get him, Russ. Take care.
Yep. All right.
Will do.
Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to a rock-bottom rate, buy or refi.
The earliest halibut opener in many years is happening this Thursday in the Eastern Strait of Juan de Fuca, when marine areas 6 through 10 open for halibut fishing. Initially, these marine areas will be open Thursday through Saturday from April 22nd through May 22nd and should provide some excellent fishing right off the bat. Kevin John at Holiday Sports in Burlington prefers to anchor for halibut, one of the many banks in the Eastern Strait, and will fish a large horse herring or a big squid combined with a variety of scents to get bit.
Lowland Lakes open next Saturday. The most popular fishing event of the year, a.k.a. the Lowland Lake Opener, is coming up next Saturday. The popular Trout Derby also starts next Saturday and runs through October 31st. Just over 100 lakes are stocked with tag trout that qualify for a prize. Catch a tag trout in any one of these lakes. Call the number on the tag to claim your prize. 70 businesses have donated more than 1,000 prizes valued at almost $40,000, and there's no registration or entrance fee to participate. Search the Catchable Trout Plant page on the WDFW website to see which one of your lakes in your area are stocked for trout on open day of trout season, April 24th.
Anglers are eagerly awaiting the opening of ling cod season in Puget Sound on May 1st. Nick Kester from All Star Charters will be catching live sand dabs and bullheads first thing in the morning on the opener, before heading to Possession Bar in search of ling cod. Possession is one of the top ling cod producers in Puget Sound, and Nick drifts live bait on mooching rigs across the shallowest parts of the bar to get his guests into ling cod. The San Juan Islands and the Narrows near Tacoma are also popular ling cod destinations. The season runs from May 1st through June 15th in the Puget Sound, and the ling cod need to be between 26 and 36 inches to keep.
The shrimping opener at Puget Sound has been set for May 19th in select marine areas. The May 19th opening date offers favorable tides, and shellfish managers are hoping the midweek opener will keep marine areas within their quotas. Last spring, participation was so high on the shrimp opener that some areas went beyond their quota with just a single day of shrimping. Some areas like Hood Canal, for instance, will get additional openings after May 19th. Check the WDFW regulations pamphlet for more information about the upcoming Puget Sound shrimp season.
Sport Co. and Outdoor Emporium Spring Anniversary Sale. Be sure to check the Spring Anniversary Sale at Sport Co. and Fife and Outdoor Emporium in Seattle. The two biggest outdoor retailers in Western Washington have a long list of sale items, from fishing and camping gear, gun safes, clothing, footwear, all at prices that cannot be beat. Daiwa Lex 100 line counters priced at $99.98. Daiwa Tanicum Bull electric reel spooled with braid at $549.98. And sale prices on a long list of Akuma rods and gear. Not to mention sale pricing on select Coleman tents, camping gear, Camp Chef, Carhartt workwear, SMI shrimp pot, Caddis waders, select Hobie kayaks, sports field safe, you name it. If you know how hot the outdoor market is right now, you'll hurry to get in and pick the gear you need right away before it's gone. That's a spring anniversary sale that runs from April 15th through May 1st at the Outdoor Emporium in downtown Seattle and Sport Co. in Fife.
188 teams fished the Berkeley Big Bass Tournament on Potholes Reservoir last weekend, making it the biggest bass tournament in Washington State history. The team of Tate Webb and Micah Hart won the brand new Skeeter ZX150 bass boat worth over $36,000 with their entry in the hourly Big Bass weigh-in. Jordan Doucette caught the largest non-hourly Big Bass winner with a 5.51-pound largemouth. You can find the results of the Berkeley Big Bass Tournament posted on the Northwest Berkeley Big Bass Tournament results page online.
The general turkey season opened up this past Thursday. The start of the turkey season should have been great with an excellent weather forecast for all of Eastern Washington. Colville, Okanagan County, Toucannon, and Klickitat are all expected to see afternoon temps reach into the 70s and even the low 80s. This weekend, turkey season runs from April 15th through the end of May in Washington State. Most of the harvest occurs in Eastern Washington, with 66% of it occurring in the northeast corner of the state.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to a rock-bottom rate. buy or refi.
Also, I got some other stuff here. There was just a grizzly bear attack over near West Yellowstone. Those critters, they're coming out of hibernation, and they haven't eaten since the fall. So
they're hungry, grumpy, and hungry.
Yeah. Oh man. No. Anyway, it looked like a pretty nasty one. Not that we have any grizz in Western Washington to worry about, but if you're heading over that way, be aware. Also, at the Sportco event here, Fathom Seafoods has fresh crab here this weekend. I also just talked to Ryan Haynes up at the Shrimp Shack. They are cranking. Him and his daughter were up there at 5 o'clock this morning getting going. They have a new big swag shop they just opened up too up at Shrimp Shack, so go check that out. We were talking to
Shrimp
Michael.
Shack,
hey, I mentioned Michael earlier in the show at Michael May's Custom Archery. Michael Arsel just picked up a new Browning 6.5 PRC. And what in the heck? He just shot in a long-range tournament. Was it last weekend, Joe? You were telling me some details about it. I honestly couldn't even believe it.
He went over there and he said he was the only guy with a without a custom fancy $10,000 rifle. He was shooting the Browning
out of the box,
the Browning Speed X, the X-Bolt Speed, same gun you have. Out of the box, Vortex Optics, and he took 12th out of 27. 35-mile-an-hour crosswind.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Dope that out, man.
He was shooting a 12-inch plate. 12-inch plate at 1,000 yards with a 35-mile-an-hour crosswind with that 6.5 PRC Browning. I keep telling people, and you do too, I mean, there's semi-custom rifles right off the shelf, you know. And the things you can do with those rifles are amazing. They've even turned me into a semi-decent shooter, you know.
Both of us,
Yeah, I mean, gosh, incredible. So anyway, Michael texted into the show here a little bit earlier, and I wanted to mention his performance with that doggone 6.5 PRC in that shoot last weekend. Just incredible. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, now let's shift gears. Dude, chicks dig the white meat. They do. I mean, I don't care if it's lingcod. I don't care if it's halibut. If you have some of this, you will have friends.
Oh, yeah.
You don't make friends with
everybody
salad.
Everybody loves halibut.
You make friends with halibut.
Yes.
absolutely top table fare. A nice fresh ling or a nice fresh halibut, man. I don't know that you can beat that here in the state of Washington. We got a halibut opener this Thursday. Kevin John, Holiday Sports, going to run down the whole halibut program next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here at 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Trying to talk Kevin John into answering his phone here. So we'll get him on in a second. But
he's got herring oil in his ears.
He's rigging baits right now. But I tell you what. We've got that freezer on the boat, and I've messed around with pre-rigging baits, like a bunch of them ahead of time, Gamakatsu 12-aught Big River hooks, and freezing them, you know?
Okay.
And just that way you've got a bunch rigged up ahead of time.
And I don't think it really hurts the integrity of the bait, especially with the big squid and those big herring. You know, those herring are you know, the big ones that we use that don't have scales. That's a byproduct of either the roe fishery or the scale. They take the scales off and use the scales. So rigging them up first and then freezing a bunch and having them ready to go, throw them in the cooler. You got all those baits ready to go. You don't have to screw with it on the boat. It's a great idea.
So I think Mark finally got the Procure herring oil off his hands enough to answer. Kevin.
Your name is Mark now.
Kevin John, Holiday Sports. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Kevin.
What's up, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We're talking about the halibut opener coming up here, man. And I know you've spent a lot of time out there on these halibut openers over the year. You and Anthony and the rest of the gang there at Holiday Sports up in Burlington. What would be a game plan? Maybe not so much where to, but how to attack these eastern straight halibut here on Thursday when this sucker opens up, man.
Well, you know, for me, the first thing is kind of looking at the tides, you know, seeing what we have going on. So, you know, first thing in the morning, it's a little bit of a soaker. You know, I think those fish bite a little bit better when it's moving more. So I'd probably start off in the morning, you know, doing some jigging and stuff rather than necessarily going straight on to anchor. And then from there, I'm going to look at a chart. So we all have our basic idea where we want to go, whether that's MacArthur, Hine, Partridge. You know, I always like Hine. Of course, it's always the most popular. Makes it a little bit tougher to fish sometimes. But you're going to want to start up on top of one of the banks and drift off. So we go back to thinking about the tides. You know, we're basically looking, let's say, an 8-foot high tide, Port Townsend tide, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, dropping out. Only a couple 3 feet until, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock. So it's going to be a slow outgoing. So you're going to want to start on top of a bank, and then you're going to drift out. So you're going to drift west in this case. So you want to try to find some ledges and things. I like to start up, you know, right on top and look for what I call like a nose, you know, so kind of a hump or a ridge that's going to be running out, and I can kind of drop off of either side of a ridge. For an anchor guy, that's really, really important. Because as you anchor up on top of one of those ridges, you're going to be broadcasting scent down into one of those valleys. And that's where we're trying to pull those fish up onto, you know, ultimately, and bang on them.
So jigging, what are we jigging? Are we jigging big 16-ounce scampi tails? What are you throwing down there if you jig? And are you putting bait on there? What are you doing with those jigs, buddy?
I use bait on everything. I take a ton of bait when I go out halibut fishing. You know, that can be a little rough with a dogfish sometimes, so I'll switch over to some of the artificial plastics and things that'll handle a little bit more there. But as far as my actual jigging goes, you know, 16 to 24 ounce lead head stuff, when the current's moving, you know, the first couple hours there, the opening weekend anyway, you probably get away with some 12 ounce stuff while it's not moving too much. So, you know, big scampi and, you know, white or chartreuse, big chunk of octopus hanging off the back end of that thing. You know, an old salmon belly or something works great too. They stay on really well. You know, we're not going for exactly a finesse presentation, so it doesn't have to look great. The biggest thing is just having one more piece of scent on it. We also fish a lot of actual darts or like pipe jig type stuff. I've had, you know, Anthony in particular has really schooled me over the years, taking a big 12 ounce dart with a chunk of octopus or a fake squid draped over the top of that thing, and working that back. You know, we'll do that even while we're on anchor.
There you go.
We've got a couple of 3 rods out and somebody reels their gear up, to check it and rebait whatever. You know, somebody's always grabbing a jigging rod and pitching that up in front of the boat and jigging that back down alongside that chum bag and the rest of the gear. And it's amazing how often that's the rod that gets bit.
So
something a little bit different,
something
making noise, that's the big advantage.
Once you are on anchor, Kevin, what is your chum bag program? How do you like to run it off your anchor? Do you run it down off a downrigger? How do you get that chum down there?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of different ways over the years, and we've messed up a lot of different ways over the years. I really like the idea of off of the anchor. The problem with that is in a lot of cases when we get the current going one direction, you know, and a groundswell or something going the other way, you're actually broadcasting the chum away from yourself. So, you know, if you can get it off of the anchor, that's great, but a lot of guys are only going to set that thing once a day. So we've really gone to using more stuff off of the back of the boat on a downrigger. Whether that's one or two downriggers, that kind of depends. I've got some SMI makes these, what they call seal-proof bait cages that guys use in crab pots. And I'll modify one of those things and have it rigged up straight in line on my downrigger so my downrigger ball's hanging off the bottom of it. So the thing doesn't bounce around and get wonky and, you know, telegraph any movement that shouldn't be there. And that'll also give you ability under really heavy current to run a release off of it and just pin a rod in with a bait, you know, really close to your chum bag. But the cool thing by running them on a downrigger is you can jog that thing up 10 feet and then slam it back down to the bottom. So, again, we're making noise, and we're also making sure we're getting all that water moving through that bait to really broadcast that chum.
Move it around.
And, you know, if you're going to check your rod, you just top off the chum again.
And what do you like for chum? What's your favorite thing to put down there?
You know, we'll use lots of stuff. We'll actually use some shrimp pellets in there a lot of times because those things are so fishy and they last forever. But it's really the fresh, bloody, nasty stuff. So, you know, salmon carcasses work great. We use lots of mackerel or ground mackerel. Works really well. If you're going to use a lot of the ground mackerel, we tend to put it in a fine mesh bag or something in there. You know, pantyhose work great. That's always a good look to get it for in the morning at the gas station buying a set of pantyhose. But they were good.
So you're on anchor. You're running baits. What's your setup? What kind of hooks are you running? What kind of are you running off your downrigger, or are you running heavy leads, keeping it close to the chum bag? And what are you running for bait?
If the current's really cooking, we'll use a downrigger. But in most cases, we got three or four guys on the boat and we're trying to get more gear out. So we end up using spreader bars in most cases. On anchor, I like to use a couple of different weights. So the two rods that'll be closest to the bow will typically have, say a 24-ounce sinker on them, whereas the two off of the stern are going to be, 12 or 16 ounces so that we can bounce them a little bit further back, have a little bit more of a spread, less apt to see some tangles that way. I like using the large spreader bars, the 20-inch long arms. That lets me use a little bit longer leader to start with. Most of what we're using is heavy mono. There's benefits to mono and cable. I'll use cable when the dogfish are really bad, but I really don't like using the stuff because it's rough on the hands, especially being that small diameter. It tends to get kinked up. Whereas if I'm using like a 150 to 300 pound mono, when I do have a fish, I've got something thick enough that I can grab it and kind of manhandle that fish around the boat, popping hooks out and things.
And the abrasion resistance of that big mono is stellar.
I'm a J-hook fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How big a J-hooks, like buddy? How big a J-hooks?
I'm using mostly the Gamagatsu bigger for bait hooks. I like to use 10-aught and 12-aught stuff most of the time. I'll use a 12-aught hook on my top and a 10-aught as my trailer. And then I'll take a big Delta double skirt and slide that down over the top. So once I've stuck that bait in there, it'll cover up his head so he goes through the water a lot easier. There's not near as much drag on him. And then I'll goo that thing up big time with all kinds of scent. One of the really big advantages to it is we're glow in the dark now for one, but if I'm down 150 or 200 feet and I get a bump, I'm not sitting here wondering if I have anything left on my hooks. At least I still have that skirt down there, so it'll let me keep fishing a little bit longer. As far as the actual bait side of thing goes though, like I said earlier, I use everything. So if we're going to go out, I'm going to take herring, sardines, mackerel, octopus, squid, you name it. The cool thing with the halibut stuff is we're not looking for that finesse presentation. So if I take a herring with me, and I don't use it this trip, I put it back in the freezer. I can take it again the next trip. They don't have to be in just pristine shape like they do for salmon. And if I get to the end of the season, then I throw all the stuff in the crab pot and it gets used up regardless. But I've gone out enough days where a buddy kicks my butt on a mackerel, that I haven't had, that we make sure we have enough for everybody to fish all of it anymore. most of the time I'll start off with a herring, personally, and then we'll make sure we've got like a sardine and a mackerel and an octopus out there to start the day. And then once we get a couple of bumps on one, we'll kind of start cycling the other gear that direction too and see if they've got a favorite on the given day.
Do you run any magic thread or stretchy thread on your baits just to toughen them up a little bit? And I know a lot of guys that are doing that nowadays. Do you do any of that stuff, Kevin?
Yeah, you see a lot of guys do it with smaller hooks. I will a lot of times, even a zip tie will help. I personally like using the magic thread over stretchy thread because I don't have to tie anything off. I can just wrap it a bunch of times and pop it real quick. It's also a lot easier to get off my hooks when I'm done. But I found that if I'm using those big 10 and 12-aught hooks on, a 10 or 12-inch herring, if I'm just sticking that top hook through his head, I can run the other one through the body once and kind of back through the tail, and they really do stay pretty well. So I'm not real concerned with it on that big stuff, but if I was going to go down to that 6, 7, 8-aught range, it's a lot easier to make sure stuff stays just the way you want it if you are going to use some stretchy thread.
Getting a big bag of rubber bands and staples ain't a bad way to do it either. I'm a big fan of the whole rubber band program. And again, with the Gamakatsu 10 or 12-aught hooks, quite often I'll take one of those Berkley 8-inch grubs, thread a monster moochin leader, thread that tail on there, put a horse herring on there, and then rubber band that sucker on there. And I tell you what, now you got something that's, that scampi supporting that herring, and it's still gonna be there. But the key is checking that and running them up and down. So Rob, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, hey, Kevin, we have a question for you here on the text toy, 710-710. Is it legal to use a big treble trailer hook out there on your bait rig? Is that legal?
Yeah, so that's a one that a lot of guys don't catch on. Treble hooks are legal in the saltwater for anything but salmon. So you can use, you know, you could use two treble hooks on a herring rig if you wanted to. Everything's got to be barbless, obviously, but treble hooks are legal. So you'll see most of my jigs, whether it's for lingcod or halibut, are going to have treble hooks on them. I personally like using a treble a lot more in those cases. You know, those type of fish tend not to throw a hook the same way a salmon would, whereas I think that single is more of an advantage with a salmon. But yeah, they certainly are legal. Like if I'm running just a straight squid, a lot of times I'll go to like a smaller hook. So I'll use like a 7 or an 8-aught big river hook for a top hook. And then I'll use like a 2-aught owner for a trailer, on the treble. And that's a really awesome outfit.
And if you haven't been halibut fishing since last year and you're going to use last year's hooks and they're rusty,
go get new hooks.
Just go. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, new hooks on all your butt gear every year. I tried at the end of the season, I'll rinse off my stuff and hit it with some WD-40 and a small percentage of those hooks. And I looked at them, you know, when I started getting my gear ready for this season, and most of them are smoked out. Mm-hmm. And I will not mess with it. Dude, if you're a great halibut fisherman, you're going to get 2-3 bites in the straights a day. Okay?
Yeah.
You know? And you cannot go out there with dull hooks.
Well, the last thing you want to do is spend all the time and the effort to go out there. And like Kevin said, he doesn't just have herring on the boat. He's got herring and squid and mackerel and sardines and whatever he thinks those halibut might eat that particular day. He wants to have all of it. And hooks. Make sure you have good gear.
Yeah.
You know, don't be cheap on that stuff. You're running all the way out into the straits for this prized fish you want to catch. Make sure you have the right stuff.
And I want to talk a little bit too about the bitter end of your gear. I mean, braid is great. It's super strong for its diameter, but it does not have the abrasion resistance that mono does. Mm-hmm. Retie all your stuff, okay? Especially that knot at the business end, and please use a corkscrew swivel on the end of your rod, okay? So salmon swivels, the lighter kind of stuff, the fine wire things, hey, they're great for trolling. That's great for salmon. But for halibut, what do you guys have down there, Holiday Sports, for really heavy-duty business end stuff, buddy?
You know, I'm using big, heavy-duty 4-aught corkscrew swivels myself. Most of the spreader bars that I'm running, you know, that makes it really easy to hook those things off and on. But the type of gear that we're running, it's so heavy and slimy and nasty, you know, a corkscrew you can actually get open. Whereas if you're using a standard coast lock, you know, it's almost impossible when your hands are cold and slimy like that to get the thing open. But, you know, a big, heavy-duty swivel, you know, it's the little things, right? Bait.
It is.
And line. Those are like the cheapest parts of your entire setup. You make sure you're covered on that stuff, and the rest will fall into place.
And you mentioned jigging, Kevin. If you are going to jig, make sure you run a shock leader in there, heavy shock leader, 2-3 feet of it. What will happen is those halibut will come up, and they'll inhale that entire jig, and they'll clip that braid right off. And all you're going to feel is just a little tick, and everything's gone. Their teeth are sharp. And they chomp down on that sucker, and there goes your jig. So make sure you run a heavy shock leader. Kevin, you can show folks how to do that when they come in the shop. But you got to have that on there, or they're just going to clip those jigs right off. So other than that, go get them.
I've got a picture in the shop here of a 20-pound halibut that sucked a leader so far through it, came out his gills and hooked him in his butt with the spreader.
Yeah,
all the way in.
That's called sold. That's a customer there, baby. Yeah. You're going to need it. Kevin John Holiday Sports, you're going to find him right behind the reel counter there. Wealth information, great guy. Can't wait to get you up in Sitka, buddy. We are going to have some fun because all that stuff you just described, we are going to put it to work, buddy. No question. So get a fish box full of your ring gear set up. We'll send it up on the boat. I'll reach out to you this week, pal.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Kevin John Holiday Sports.
Good luck at the shop. See you, man.
Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned blue.
Red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got them?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's
Really? Where?
Where? Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere.
Really?
Weather's warming up. It's time to get out into your Roy Robinson RV. Check out their brand new location, 60,000-foot showroom of Class A's, Class B's, Class C's, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, and so much more. RoyRobinsonRV.com.
We've been talking a lot of halibut here in the last couple hours, but we've been a little remiss here to not mention the trout opener coming up
Next
weekend. Incredible weather, and hopefully I don't jinx it for all the folks headed out next weekend by even saying this, but great weather, and they're pumping the trout into all the local lakes too as well. You didn't really have to wait till the opener, though. There's a lot of year-round lakes that have had great opportunity here, especially this weekend. You can get out and hit some of the local year-round lakes that have been stocked. I know Dave Johnson, our friend down at Kitsap Marina, I guarantee he's probably out there right now catching trout somewhere down there in western Washington near his home in Port Orchard, Washington. But, yeah, the Lowland Lake opener is next weekend. Get the boat going. Get the battery charged up. The life jacket's ready to go. Go grab some power bait, get whatever you need here this weekend, and you might want to get double what you would normally get because supplies are limited. I mentioned this earlier in the show with the supply chain issues and whatnot, and demand. I mean, you know, we just applied for some out-of-state tags, Joe and I, and double the number of people applying this year as in previous years. Hunting, fishing, biking, boating, camping, whatever it is, anything in the outdoors, people are flocking to the outdoors right now. So definitely get your gear, and again, get it right now. Don't wait till summer or fall or whenever you need to get out, get it right now. But yeah, trout opener coming up next weekend, get the gear ready and go have a great time.
Obviously, you know, halibut, but there's a ton of stuff to do. There's still turkey hunting to do right now. So, you know, if I had the time, I would slip away and I was going to try to get over there with Austin. Our buddy Austin Mosier shot his first turkey with his bow.
I saw that.
I still think he probably baited that thing in with grain, but he claims he didn't.
he may fold under questioning. We'll dig into this topic a little bit under further examination.
But then also, you know, all the local lakes that we have open right now, the warm water stuff, the crappie, the bass, that's all going to start kicking off and really cranking here. Nick, our buddy Nick Poley, he's on Lake Washington right now. Just a little bit of a warm up in the lake, and they're catching fish right now on God tooth spoons, trolling those. Also still have some jig rods set up with those little P-line jigs.
Lake Guys Washington seeing... or Lake Stevens? Lake Stevens?
Lake Stevens. Mean? Yeah,
oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So those little P-line jigs,
yeah.
You see those fish popping on the surface, cast to them, mm-hmm. and there's a technique there, but they're catching the heck out of them on those little jigs.
And absolutely 100% a little tiny spinning rod drill.
Yes.
You won't get them to drop fast enough on any kind of level.
No, light line. Flip them out there and jig them back.
You guys are all full of it because you and I are headed to CQ right now. We're going to bomb out there. You got two more weeks left out there for CQ. Also, that's a great place to stage ops come Thursday for the halibut opener out there. Then you got two coastal cricks that are opening up to springers on May 1st. So and May 1st is the ling opener as well. So, I mean, yeah, we got a ton of stuff coming up here. And you know, if you didn't get excited about the last couple of days' weather getting outside, man, yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, this has been one of the nicest stretches of April. I mean, I remember April's where we didn't see the sunshine. And I remember snow on May 1st, you know, around here. And that just does not look like it's in the cards. But
Tom's putting the boat on the barge and shipping it to Alaska here
on
the 28th.
Yep.
So, hey, any of you guys out there who have a 28 or larger boat and you need a good deckhand, reach out to me on social media or email.
Joe's
I'm happy to come help pull shrimp pots or catch ling cod.
Displaced deckhand looking for work. Yeah.
I supply all the bait.
Yeah, Pyburn's new website, joedeboatho.com, right there. He's gonna jump off and jump on in. So if you missed any of the show, make sure you jump on theoutdoorline.com for podcast. Download that 710 ESPN app. It's free. It'll give you the whole content right there. MyNorthwest.com and also the Apple podcast app has all our stuff. Give us a follow on social media at Joe Pyburn on Instagram, at Rob Ensley, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson back in our Seattle studios, that's Joe Pyburn. Rob Ensley, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.